This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Dan Wanchura in for Ed Ronco. Coming up, author Parul Kapoor is in Traverse City tonight to discuss her debut novel, Inside the Mirror. We'll hear more on that. But first, since COVID, Traverse City's largest private employer, Hagerty, has allowed its employees to work remotely. This week, that changed when the company, whose primary business is insuring classic cars and boats, brought back over 200 employees to their downtown offices. Hagerty's leadership staff already returned in late February. Together, that makes almost 400 workers now on site. IPR's Maxwell Howard visited downtown for the company's return to work and spoke with local shops hoping to find more business.
If you walked past Hagerty's headquarters last week and you looked into the tower's first floor long glass windows, you'd see classic cars parked at angles in the lobby. You'd see long rows of desks and computers, but what you wouldn't see was people. Now, that building is busy again, filling up with Hagerty's hundreds of regional employees. And workers at nearby businesses are excited for a bump in business that disappeared after the pandemic.
Yeah, it was like the first year I worked here, I was like, oh my God, we're so busy during the weekdays. 5 o'clock is like here in no time. And now since they've been gone, I'm like, it's just quieter. It's boring.
That's McLean Knowles, a bartender who works at Rare Bird Brew Pub, just a short walk from Hagerty headquarters. Hagerty workers used to come in frequently, she says. That changed when the company went remote. Archie's Social House is a breakfast spot nearby, and owner Jonathan Petrie says he's been keeping a close eye on when Hagerty workers would be returning.
I definitely made it a point to mark it in my calendar. That was a big deal. Happy to see that, and happy to see more people walking around downtown.
The restaurant is just 2 years old and doing well so far, says Petrie. But even so, customers coming back will be especially appreciated during the winter months.
I would say in the off season, we definitely have some, you know, room for growth in our lunch services during the week. And I think that's one of our hopes out of this happening.
Hagerty's economic effect was highlighted in a 2022 report prepared for the Traverse City Downtown Development Authority, which noted that downtown already had a below average number of workers and is heavily reliant on Hagerty. Harry Burkholder is the executive director at Traverse City DDA, and he's hopeful the return to office can set a trend and have an impact on all of downtown.
People who work downtown, they eat at restaurants for lunch, and it's not just within a block radius. A great thing about downtown Traverse City, it's within a 10-minute walk to just about everywhere. So I expect that impact to be felt throughout the entire downtown.
For IPR News, I'm Maxwell Howard.
The National Writers Series and Interlochen Center for the Arts are hosting Parul Kapoor tonight at the Alluvian. Her debut novel, Inside the Mirror, is set in Bombay, India in the 1950s. It explores the way art can be used as a coping mechanism for processing the immense tragedies in life that are sometimes out of our control. IPR's Ed Ronco sat down with Kapoor to discuss the experiences that shaped this novel.
Parul Kapoor, welcome to Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to speak to you.
A lot of your work focuses on the aftermath of British colonialism in India, and Inside the Mirror takes place there in that moment, in the 1950s, right after India became independent in 47. You've got twin sisters in your book, both studying careers that have been decided upon by their father, but they have artistic sides they want to develop. Tell us about these two characters, Jaya and Kamlesh.
They both have these artistic inclinations in different directions, which actually come out of a common wound. So it's 1953 when the book opens, and about 6 years earlier was the partition of India, which was a very bloody and violent end to British rule in India. So these young girls at the age of around 12, 13, we're witnessing all this horror indirectly. And so that pain and that destruction was so overwhelming that it kind of needed some expression in them because they're very sensitive young girls. And so Jaya drifts towards art. So she starts kind of portraying these horrific scenes that she's hearing about in stories that her relatives are telling. And then her mother is disturbed that, you know, my daughter is getting so upset. She's drawing these awful kind of scenes of violence, you know, whatever her childish mind puts together from what she's heard. And so her mother finds her an art teacher And Kamlesh, she's interested in dance. She's good in dance in school, and it's a British school, so she learns like Scottish country dancing. But they come to their arts through these through this traumatic moment, but it becomes then a way of creating their own identities out of destruction, really. And it's not something that they're conscious of, but it's kind of what happens.
There's specificity in your book to the time and the place and the particular things your characters encounter. But the broader idea of using art to cope with something you're seeing and struggling with and trying to process, that feels pretty universal to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. And I think when you are very young and you are hearing or seeing things that you don't, you know, are terrible, you can sense it, right? And anyway, they see their relatives crying and talking about, you know, somebody's maybe brother or sister was killed, somebody lost their home. Like, how do you process that? You can't. And people start saying things in front of children, almost as if the child is invisible, and you know, because they are so distraught themselves. And so, but they are processing all of this as 12, 13-year-olds. And so I think it definitely, if you have any inclination to any kind of expression, it comes out in that.
You are coming to Northern Michigan to talk to Interlaken students and the general public through the National Writer Series. What do you hope to impart when you're here?
Well, I don't know about imparting, but I'm very inspired to see all these young students who are young artists and are so directed in a sense that even as high school students, you know, they have kind of figured out that they want to be artists and are pursuing it at such a young age. And so, yeah, I would just like to have a dialogue with them about, you know, what it is to find your way as an artist, the various challenges that come up, and I guess in some way just maybe talk to them about some lessons that I've learned, like things that I think I did right and things that I did think that I did very wrong that I wish I could redo. And you know, because art is a it's a kind of different and difficult path because it's very much well, at least in as for a writer, a solitary path. You kind of have to find your own way in it.
It's a
And
profession
so
without a formula, right? I mean, there's no, this is exactly what success looks like in an artistic career versus, you know, other jobs where it's like, yeah, you this is the job, you get it done, that's success. With any kind of art, it feels very subjective to me.
yeah, and I was actually thinking, you know, like art became my home because I left India as a child, and I didn't, and I had very much had the sense of being without a home and being an outsider. But in any case, yeah, it becomes a home, you know, in that it's a very private world, which where I am, and I control it with my right. But it's a home that's like it's never built. It's just constantly, you're constantly making it, right? The art is always ongoing. And whether, you know, it's successful or not, it's just a home always in the process of construction, I feel.
Pearl Kapoor, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed our conversation.
That was Pearl Kapoor talking with IPR's Ed Ronco. And that's the Up North Lowdown for Wednesday, April 8th. I'm Dan Wanshura.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.